There's crucial work to do and lots of people need work. We'll hear the argument that governments should hire vastly more people and do it routinely. I'm David Brancaccio. It's become a grim pandemic ritual. On Thursdays, I report the new number of laid-off people who filed for unemployment benefits over the last week. That figure is out in about an hour and a half. Since the lockdowns, more than 30 million Americans have gotten approval to receive benefits, usually through states, but many more who are out of work now are still trying to get filed and approved. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Prep cook Nicholas Kravenko was laid off from his full-time job at a restaurant in Portland, Oregon in mid-March.
Filed unemployment. They got back to me at one point with a letter. We found an issue. We'll contact you later. But I haven't got a single cent yet.
Kravenko went about 8 weeks without pay and barely made his rent. He just started a new job at a food cart that does takeout. He expected to get state unemployment benefits while he was out of work, plus $600 a week in federal pandemic pay. That program also expands eligibility to people who aren't usually covered, including gig workers and solo business owners. Like Brooke Wetzel, a florist in Los Angeles. She applied, was denied, and then had to apply again.
So I stopped working March 17th, and then the money didn't come through until May 8th.
Advocates for the unemployed estimate millions who've applied for jobless benefits are still waiting to get their money. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the FTSE index in London is up 0.7%. Here, stock index futures are mixed. The Dow future is up 66 points, 0.3%, but the S&P future is down not quite 0.1%. The NASDAQ future down 0.6%. American Airlines is telling employees it has to cut 30% of its management and support staff, with air travel down to a trickle here. Airplane maker Boeing is saying that it's ending 12,000 jobs in the U.S., more than planned. It's not just the virus. Boeing is still trying to get its 737 MAX jet approved to go back in service after two fatal crashes.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The recovery from the COVID-19 crisis must lead to a different economy. The words this spring of the head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres. On the Marketplace Morning Report here, we're asking lots of people from different ideologies and backgrounds about what should change in a post-pandemic economy compared to what came before. Today, Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, which is a think tank based in New York. When reimagining the economy, Wong takes a page from the playbook of President Franklin Roosevelt. Greetings, Felicia.
Thanks, David.
So imagine a world. You would like that world to be supported by an economy where the government, what, guarantees people government jobs if they can't find work elsewhere?
I think we need a much more humane economy, and that economy has to have good jobs for lots of people. So what I'd really like to see is publicly funded jobs, jobs that could be paid for by the federal government but administered locally, because even given the massive unemployment out there, there is a tremendous amount of work that we need to do. Some of it is healthcare. People are talking now about the need for contact tracing. But we also have childcare needs. We need to make our built environment, our buildings more green. So let's put the people who need work together with the jobs that need to be done. And really, only publicly funded jobs at massive scale is able to solve this big public problem. I also think we should make sure that these are good jobs. They should pay more than $15 an hour. They should come with benefits.
I mean, this recalls the Works Progress Administration from the Great Depression, where we got a lot of people on the government payroll and built a lot of roads.
You're right. That employed more than 8 million people. The WPA, you know, it built the Tennessee Valley Authority, bringing dams and water and electricity to that very depressed part of the country. The WPA built Camp David. They built the on-ramp to the Golden Gate Bridge.
One criticism, besides perhaps the cost of employing so many people as a matter of policy, one criticism is that with the government offering the guaranteed job, private employers would have to raise what they pay, and that would make the U.S. less competitive when competing with countries that don't do that.
See, I got to say, I think that's a feature, not a bug, of this idea. We should be raising pay. It's really important that workers who we now see are essential, grocery clerks and delivery workers and home health aides, they need to make a living wage, of course, to support their families, but also to support the whole economy. You know, these folks need to be able to themselves pay for education, you know, buy groceries, go on vacation. That stimulates the whole economy, and they can't do that right now on the sub-minimum wages that they're getting.
And before we go, I want to ask you just about the premise of these discussions that we're having here. Do you think it's, in fact, the case that this terrible crisis we're living through has widened the range of policy possibilities?
There is no question that we are talking about things now, things that we just couldn't have talked about in any serious and kind of mainstream way, even just a few months ago. So these conversations are definitely a result of the crisis, but we've got to make sure that this isn't just talk. Some of this stuff has to get into action if we are going to build a more humane and more resilient economy coming out of this than the economy we had early this year.
Felicia Wong is president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a New York-based think tank and campus network. Ms. Wong, thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All the voices reimagining the economy will accumulate at marketplace.org. Tomorrow, the man who founded the very biggest hedge fund of them all talks about how capitalism needs an overhaul, or even worse things will happen. We're also interested in how you answer the question, what should change in a post-pandemic economy compared to what came before? Morning Report at marketplace.org, if you would. I'm David Brancaccio. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.